How's everybody doing? You know, when we gather together, one of the things that is really important to me is that we realize that we're opening up the Word of God. We're going to be sharing some things and sharing our hearts together. And even though there's one person speaking, the reality is that the Lord has something very specific for you today. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about that with you and said, you know, there is this concept that, boy, that was a great message. I wish so-and-so was here. And I just want to reiterate that as I had time to kind of mull that over in my heart this week. In preparation for today's message, I really believe, honestly, that God knows what He's doing. That's just kind of the angle that I come from. And so when we are here, that means this is just going to, we can't have shiny things on Pastor Phil's table. He can't get through the message, as cute as that is. But when we have an opportunity to hear from the Word of the Lord, something that really grabs me is, I am here, and so the Lord is going to speak to me. And I really believe this morning that God has a word for you. And in Philippians, I'm going to just ask you to take a second and open up your scriptures if you have them. This particular verse isn't on the screen, but in Philippians chapter 1, it says, Philippians chapter 1, and I'm going to be in verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And that's something that I heard a pastor not too long ago kind of open up in the beginning of his message. And he was just saying, I as a pastor want you to know that when I am asking the Lord a direction that we need to go in, it's not because I see particularly some type of sin that I want to figure out how I can address from the pulpit. Does that make sense? Does everybody understand what I just said? So in other words, if the Lord is speaking to you, it's not because I heard that you're going through something and I wanted to talk to you about it, so I figured out how to work it into my message. If the Lord speaks something to you this morning, it's because the Lord wants to speak something to you this morning. If the Lord has spoke to you through worship, I don't know about you, but I just love times of worship. Last night was awesome. This morning was incredible. I could continue to use some prayer. I'm not used to singing for in the night and then getting up in the morning and doing it again. Usually we just sing in the morning and all is well. So my voice, even one of my elders was saying this morning, your voice is a little shaky. I know it's been extra taxed this weekend. But I know that God has an amazing word for us today. For us today. And so before we even get into all of this, I just want to take a minute and say, let's just go before the Lord and empty ourselves for just a minute and say, God, I want to receive from you today. Can you use that? Can that be an encouragement to you? That would be an encouragement to me. So just right where you are, there's no doubt there's a situation in your life. I mean, if there's not a situation in your life, you can hold a seminar immediately after the service today and we will all come. I'm sure that there is some kind of thing that's going on in your life that can be preoccupying your thoughts and your direction. But this morning, what I would ask you to do is just take a minute and say, God, can you just speak through my circumstance today? Speak through that circumstance. And I don't mean like use that circumstance and speak to me. I'm in this situation. Can you penetrate through that and speak to my heart? Can you come into that circumstance? So right now, let's just go before the Lord. Whatever situation you're in, wherever you find yourself this morning, Father, we turn our hearts and our attention toward you. We thank you for a time of worship and just being able to relax in the presence of the Lord. And now, Father, as we open up your word, we pray that there would be an activation within us to say, God, today, right now, I am here to hear what you have to say to me. And I thank you for this amazing opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. So greater is less than. The concept behind this is actually a verse that I've often, maybe I'm the only one who has done this, but if you're ever reading through a section of scripture that you know really well, I don't know about you, you just kind of like glance over it. You're like, oh, I know this one. I remember this one. And we just kind of, and so there's a section of scripture where John the Baptist is making a declaration that that he's going to decrease so that Jesus can increase. And I was looking over that whole scenario of what was taking place. And I realized that through John the Baptist making that declaration, he was actually being raised up in the kingdom of God. Because later on we find out that there was nobody greater than John the Baptist. This idea of who John was and what he was doing and the purpose that he was there, that there was somebody who had such a great drive to see the power and authority of God come on this earth, that John was there at that time, for that specific time, and Jesus, the couple of encounters that he had, it was quite simple. The one where Jesus is getting water baptized, he's like, I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. And through this humility, John's physical weakness and looking at him as someone who is not to be desired, God was elevating him in the kingdom. And I passed off a phrase last week that is something that's kind of developing for us for some things that we're going to be covering in the fall after our church retreat. And it's simply this, that all of the treasures that we have, one of the things that's common in Scripture and one of the things that we commonly say is that, you know, the riches of this world aren't why we're here. We shouldn't be gathering the riches of this world, that type of thing. But one of the interesting things is that the Bible talks about this crown that we are receiving, and this crown is getting jewels in it, and this crown is our heavenly inheritance that we're getting. And then we read in Revelation that what's happening is all of the people there, what they're doing is they're taking their crowns off and they're casting them at the Lord's feet. And so what we're doing is we're working towards something that we will eventually surrender to God and cast at his feet. That's really, really cool. I like that kind of stuff. And that's where we find John the Baptist, is that John the Baptist was, everything that he was doing, he was saying, I am not the one. I am not the Christ. I am not the one that's here. I can't forgive you of your sins. Only Jesus can. I'm just kind of, I'm one piece of the puzzle, and soon he's going to come, and he's going to baptize you in fire. He's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. What I'm doing is I'm just saying, you need to repent. You need to be in this situation where you're saying, I'm sorry, and I need forgiveness, and I need to be able to find out this path. And John was simply an introduction to what true forgiveness was really going to be. And so instead of him getting on this idea that he was some kind of great person, you would look at him and you would talk to him, and he was all about diminishing who he was in the kingdom of God. And so greater is less than. The way to being able to say that I am coming into who God wants me to be is through humility. Look at how James says it in James chapter 4 and verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. In Matthew chapter 23, it says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Interesting concept. Is that this idea of, I need to be able to say, not that I am worthless. I think that sometimes false humility kind of gets in the way of the comments that are going on here in Scripture. Is that this is not some kind of thing, oh, no, I'm no good, I'm nobody. I never heard John say that. I never heard John declare, I'm an idiot. I'm no good. I'm nobody. That was not what John was saying. Is that John was saying, there is someone who is even greater than I. There is someone who is going to take you further than I possibly can. I am not the greatest. The greatest has yet to come. Does that make sense? So this is not something where it's like, oh no, I'm no good. I'm worthless. That's not it at all. Instead, what it is a recognition that I have something of value to God, and that is the spirit that is within me that Jesus Christ died for. I carry value, but what can happen is, and in carrying value, I can forget that what I have to be able to do is cast that value before the Lord so that He can take that value and make it even greater. Greater in the eyes of the Lord. First Peter. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at a proper time He may exalt you. I heard some, and we're leading up to this in a minute, but just so that you can see, I heard somebody say one time, I would rather humble myself than God humble me. Because it's a willing act that we do. It's actually something that we willingly do is we say, I am going to be humble. I am going to not exalt myself. I am not going to exalt my circumstance. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, God, I want to be able to receive and be teachable in every circumstance that I find myself in. And that's a lesson that I'm constantly chewing over and over and over again. Is to be teachable in every circumstance. It's not easy. It's not easy. I can remember one time when, and I may have shared this story, but I agree with Rob. There's probably some of you that haven't heard this one, but I'm pretty sure I've shared this story before. But the very first time that I ever sang in front of anybody outside of my own house, I chose it to be, for some reason, I'm not sure why, a graduation from my grandfather's Bible school. There was a graduation that was happening, and I just felt like, for some reason, that was the day that was going to be my debut. The college was small, but just like in any graduation, parents and family and friends all come in, and so I think the class was maybe around 12 or 13 students, but there's probably 70 to 100 people there before, and I was used to like singing happy birthday at home. And I just, not only was I going to sing, but I was going to sit and play the piano, which I had no business doing either. And my grandfather was just so easygoing with me. I said, hey, I have a song to share at graduation. And he was like, okay. And that was it. I was in the program. And I sat down, I played a few chords, and I immediately recognized that I was outside of my element instantly. And I thought, what on earth have I done? So I just opened my mouth and I began to sing. I was like, oh, that's not too bad. I could tolerate that if I was listening. And I got through my song, and I sat down, went through the rest of the service. And afterwards, my father came up to me and he said, "Man, Philip, that was a really beautiful song. That was great. I would like you to get some voice lessons." My dad knew how to win friends and influence people, and I heard, that was terrible. I heard that wasn't good enough. I heard, what were you doing? And my dad was not that person. But how many of you have ever heard that when somebody was trying to encourage you? And so, in my situation, I believe my dad was doing everything that a father could do to be an encouragement in a time where he was probably sitting there going, how am I going to encourage my son through this? You know, and God, give me the words to say. But I looked at that and I was instantly like offended. And what we can do is we can get to a place to where we're seeing that God is trying to kind of put us in a particular direction. And there was a gentleman that was on the campus at that school who could have given me fantastic voice lessons, but instead I just felt like, man, that's it. And I never did anything for it was years. And I eventually transferred out of that school. I went to Elam Bible Institute in college, and there was a guy that was there. Richard, was that his name? Yeah, Rick. And so he was like this operatic tenor singer, professional singer. And my dad had heard about it. It was like there was lessons that he was giving, and I had kind of heard about it, and I thought, you know what, maybe this is my chance. But for years, I pushed the concept of getting voice lessons away, because instead of being encouraged, I heard an insult. And the enemy can take words and situations. If we are not willing to approach something and be teachable in every single moment, we can be robbed of opportunity of how God wants to build us up and encourage us. So it was years later, I went in with this professional singer. I went into his office and I said, hey, I understand you're given voice lessons. And he may have been a student. I can't remember what his exact role was at the school. But he said, yeah, that's exactly right. That's what I do. And so I went in and we started our first lesson, and he started to sing. And we were in a room that was, these music rooms down at Elam are just tiny. There's a big, huge piano, and there's a door like right here. It's like an 8x8 square room with a piano in it. And this professional singer just went, in front of my face, and I was like, wow, I am completely out of my element, and this is going to be incredible. And I ended up taking lessons from him. It was incredible. But the point is that there was a delay in what God wanted to take place in my life because I was not willing to be humble and be teachable. Does everybody understand? And those are the moments when we need to be able to look at this. We need to say, humble yourself. Humble yourself and be teachable. God, help me to be teachable in that moment. Peter goes on and he says it this way: likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For, and I did an entire message on this verse a few months ago, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so in my pride, do you see that verse? In my pride, I actually build up the opposition of God. And I don't know anybody who would willingly say, yeah, I want God to oppose me. I want God to be against me. I want to fight God. I don't know too many people who take that situation or take that stance. But what happens to us is when we become unteachable, in that moment, our pride rises up, and God actually opposes the actions that we're taking. We're saying, I can't figure this out. I don't know why this thing isn't working out. I don't know why this isn't happening. I don't know why things aren't going my way. And what we find out is that there's oftentimes a root of pride that has taken place, and we are not following after these scriptures that we just looked at. Humble yourselves before the Lord. The speaker went on to say, he said, I would rather humble myself than have God humble me, because he usually humbles me in circumstances I didn't even realize I needed to be humbled in. That's something that can be difficult, is all of a sudden humility is being forced upon us, and you're like, no, I'm actually, God, I've got that part figured out. That's not, God, that's not where the struggle really is. Yeah, and that's not the... Right? And so if we're going to get to a place, I would rather say, you know what? I want to be preemptive on this, and I want to humble myself before the Lord. And so today we're just going to take a few moments. It's actually not, there's no brain surgery going on, rocket science, all that kind of stuff. That's not what's taking place. What I want to do is I want to encourage you with a few choice words of the blatantly obvious. You ready? So there's a principle at work here. Immediate obedience to specific instruction. If I want to take a place of humility before the Lord, I need to have immediate obedience to specific instruction. Let me give you a couple of examples of immediate and not immediate. One of them, for example, is Noah. Noah, I want you to build a boat. You know what we don't have as a conversation from Noah?
I don't live anywhere near the water. How about this one? What's a boat? You know, I don't know. There's a certain conversation that didn't take place that we don't have. What do we have? Okay.
And then building this vessel 100 years. What? Noah was, I'm now with the Sunday school class needs to come back in. I had it in my brain and it slipped, but he was like 500 or 600 some years old already. So he's going to start something. He's going to build a boat. It's going to take him 100 years. He's nowhere near water. How many of you would sign up for that? Noah said, yes. How about Mary? This thing's going to happen. She had a very simple question. Now remember, her question was not an antagonistic one. We're going to get to those in a minute. But her question was like an obvious thing. You know, the angel appeared to her, you're going to bear a son. And she said, how is this possible? I haven't been with a man. And the angel answers the question. So that wasn't like, you don't know what you're talking about. It was, okay, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and he's going to place this within you. This thing's going to happen. And she's like, okay, I am your servant. Do with me as you will. Immediate response. Immediate. Sometimes it took a little bit longer, like with Moses, some convincing. Moses was not easily convinced that God wanted to use him. Why? Because initially, Moses had a very low self-esteem. Because he could not be used. He was a failure. He had certain character flaws that he didn't like. And he thought for sure God couldn't possibly mean. And then I'm going to go talk to Pharaoh. I have a speech impediment. I have a difficult time. I can't just communicate with the leader of Egypt and just say, here's what God wants you to do. And there was some convincing that needed to take place. But eventually Moses came around. The same thing on a smaller scale happened with Esther. Esther was very interesting because Esther is kind of a little bit between Moses and Mary. Because Esther was initially not going to do what Mordecai was encouraging her to do through the power of God, because Esther knew something was going to happen. If it didn't go the way that everything was supposed to, Esther would be executed. So I think that I would kind of agree with Esther. I'm like, I really need to know that this is exactly what God wants to do. I'm not sure. You don't understand. If I go into the chamber, if I walk in there and the king doesn't recognize me, they drag me out and they kill me. So you have to be sure that you're sure that you're sure. And you know what she did? She asked everybody to go to prayer and to fast. And she said, I will join with you. We are going to pray and we are going to fast. And then when we do this, we know we will be doing it with the authority and the power and the permission of God. I'm not just going to walk into the king's chambers and go, hey man, I got a question. No, I need to know that I'm going in. And so there was some hesitancy there, but the hesitancy was based upon, I could die. But what she ended up doing was sacrificing everything, humbling herself, and saying, I am going to go before the king, and I am going to seek his favor. So there's this idea of everything that God wants to do, I have to be willing to say, I have humbled myself before you, and whatever comes my way, I want to be immediately obedient to what you are calling me to do. So I'm sure that maybe for some of you there may be a question. How do I know that God is calling me to do something? That would be the first question. How do I know? It's simple, but it requires some discipline. Are you ready? Spending time with Him. That's how you know. Spending time with the Lord. Some people might say, well, I haven't heard God speak to me in a little while. Well, when was the last time? Our message last week was, don't hang up on God when it seems like He's put you on hold. Remember that one? If you haven't heard that one, you need to go listen to it. It was incredible. Pastor Chris Ball, President Elam Fellowship, amazing message. But when was the last time you actually picked up the phone? We're going to stick with the phone technology thing. You can see we're at what generation I grew up in. We used to hold our phones like this. When was the last time you picked up the phone to talk to Him, to listen to Him? So instead of being able to say, I don't know what He's saying. I don't, Pastor Phil, you're talking about all this stuff, immediate obedience to specific instruction. I'm not there yet because I don't even know that I'm hearing God. Okay, then let's rewind a little bit. If you're not there, when was the last time you created a platform for Him to speak to you from? Amen? That's where we need to start then. We need to get to there. Because then, once He has that platform, here's a guarantee. We serve a living God that speaks to His people today. So I want to be in a position where I can hear God speaking to me, leading me, and guiding me. I want to be immediately obedient to specific instruction. Luke 16:10 says this, "One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much." So there are some tests and some things that God kind of puts us through to see where are we on this path. If I am going to be faithful with the things that God gives me, He is only going to continue to bless me as I am faithful to what He has called me to do. And I could, that sentiment rings true with what Rob was saying too, is that there's many stories. I could stop right here and tell you story after story after story that was a small thing that God opened up the door for that eventually turned into something much bigger. Surprisingly. Because it was, all right, I'm gonna give you this opportunity. I'm gonna open this door for you. I wanna see how you're going to respond. The interesting thing is God already knows how I'm gonna respond. We can talk into that cycle of, you know, God already knows the beginning from the end. But the thing is that I need to be there to make that choice. Amen. I need to be able to say, this is a decision and this is a choice that I have made. And so God puts certain things in front of us and says, okay, what are you going to do? And as I follow the will of God and the call of God, all of a sudden it just begins to blossom into more and more and more. Because I've been faithful with some really small things. And the interesting thing too is that for a season, we have to be willing to be faithful with things that we would think might even be beneath our talent and our skills and our abilities. Why? Because there's a little. There is a small task that needs to be laid out so that we can then gain access to what the bigger blessing is. And also, a principle that I learned about 7 or 8 years ago is I actually like small successes that lead up to something. It builds my confidence. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? When I first started running, I would run a block and walk a block. I think I shared that a couple of months ago. And I was like, this is awful. I couldn't wait for the block where I was going to run. And every once in a while, the block I was going to walk turned into 2 blocks. Don't tell anybody. I know I'm supposed to be running this block, but look at me, I'm not. Right? And I would come and I would tell Alexa, I was like, I ran 2 blocks in a row this time. I felt like I was like big stuff. Because there was this idea of I'm going to have some small accomplishments here to build up to something. I can remember the first time I was like, I ran a mile and I didn't die. I'm still okay. I was talking to someone. Who was I talking to this morning? He was like, I'm vertical. That's Dave. I'm vertical. You know, I get back from my run, and I'm like, the good news is I made it home. You didn't have to call. This is not even a part of this, but there was. You can see where it's going to fit in eventually. But there was one time where Alexa was like, you need to run with your phone so that you can call me if you fall down and you can't get back up again. You know, I felt like a kid going to the library. She's like, okay, what's the path you're taking so I can retrace your steps and find you? You know, so I mean, that's where you're starting out. And that's the blessing of being able to serve and follow God, is God is going to give us small successes for two purposes. One is it builds our confidence, but the next thing is, okay, you were faithful with that. I'm going to give you more. Can I get an amen? That's just a principle that God works through. And so it's like, and that's why that verse is there. Do not grow weary in well-doing. Don't get tired of the tasks that God has laid before you. Just look at it and say, God is going to continue to bless me with more as I continue to be faithful to him. So what's the first one? I need to have immediate obedience to specific instruction. I need to say, God, yes, I will step into that. And like I said, there's multiple. I could tell you various things, and probably one of the bigger ones is even like missions travel. That was, Alexa can testify to that too. It's not that I didn't like missions. I didn't see myself as somebody to travel around the world and teach people. That just wasn't, at that particular moment, wasn't even my passion. And God began to do something within me through that, and it's developed into something incredible and enjoyable. The next thing is keep yourself small through the daily interactions with the people around you. I'll say it again. Keep yourself small through the daily interactions with the people around you. This is not false humility. The reason why I shared some of those illustrations about John the Baptist is that John was not a false humilitist. I just made up that word right here in front of all of you. So don't flip through your dictionaries and go, what's that word? I just now made it up, but it sounded good. Keep yourself small simply means this, is that it is not me, it is God. It is not through my own abilities. It is only through the power of God. I need to keep myself small as I interact with the people around me. Let me give you an illustration from the Old Testament where that kind of fell through. That was with King Saul. King Saul was handpicked by God for a task. Watch now, watch this. That God didn't even want the people of Israel to go through with. You have to keep it all in perspective. God said, you don't want a king. You're going to be really sorry if you get a king. You would rather keep this thing a theocracy. I promise you, let's just keep on going with the judges and the prophets. I'll speak to you. And the people cried out. They wanted a king just like the people around them had a king. It said it shows a strength. It shows they've got a military. They've got this thing. And they were completely enthralled with the countries around them and the people around them that had kings. They said, no, we want a king. So watch now, God goes and handpicks Saul for a position that God didn't even think should exist. And he says, here's Saul. And when you read the first couple of chapters of Saul coming into this place, he's a humble guy. He's like, I can't do this. I'm not even sure I have the gifts, the talents, and the abilities to accomplish this thing. And there was a lot of encouraging that needed to come. And as soon as and before you know it, the encouraging turns into, hey, not so bad after all. I can do this. I could be king. I'm Big Mac Daddy King Saul now. I'm going to start going into the temple and doing my own thing. I'm going to start offering my own sacrifices. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to call upon the Lord whenever. Boom, boom, boom. And next thing you know, Saul begins to think higher of himself and his interactions with the people of God. And it slips in. And you read through the life of Saul, and you can actually, people sometimes cherry pick certain things that were going on. Like, we pick up the story with Saul when he's like not liking that David's coming around and how talented he is and kinging and killing Goliath and all that kind of stuff. And we're like, that's where we like jump into the story of Saul. But the reality is that Saul's wavering from the Lord was small step after small step after small step. Failure after failure to see God's hand in something instead of his own. And so when we look at this, again, this is not a focus on false humility. This is a focus on, it is the power of God within me. That is the only reason that I can do anything that God has called me to do. It's the only way. The only way I can do it. And if we go through some of these things, we find out that there are certain arenas that we find ourselves in that can be a test of where is my pride and where do I fall. Here's a quote that I want to read to you. There is no greater arena where our pride or humility plays out than in our relationships. And that is one of the most difficult places that we can find ourselves in. And in our relationships, we find out that one of the things that we can do the most is we can begin to claim our rights. And we can say, well, I have this right. I was offended this way. And Pastor Dave shared a little bit about this last night as we were talking about preparing a platform of prayer before us, that sometimes what we can do is we can say, I was definitely offended. I was definitely hurt. So I have a right to stand in this stature. I have a right to make this claim because I was definitely hurt. Here's the thing, is that God doesn't diminish the pain that we're in, but God doesn't want us to live in that pain. He doesn't want us to remain there. And the only way that we can escape that is by depending completely on him and saying, it's not you, it is all about me. It is all about the drive and the desire. And Jesus illustrated setting your rights aside perfectly when the disciples came in, right before he was going to be sacrificed on the cross, and he's having this final encounter with them. And you all know the story, where Jesus takes the towel off, wraps it around his waist, he kneels before them, and he takes the servant's position and washes their feet. Can you just take a minute, at this particular point, all of the disciples know exactly who Jesus Christ is. There's no more question. I mean, they're not sure how things are going to work out. And of course, we've got Thomas in the room, and we don't know where Thomas is with anything ever until he finally is like, show me the scars and all that. But the reality is that they knew they were looking at the Messiah. And the creator of the universe took the servant's position. How awkward would that feel? And I don't know a modern day example that we can even come close to comparing that to. But to realize that Jesus is washing my feet. And so what does Peter say? Well, if this thing is going to go down, don't just wash my feet, wash all of me, because my feet aren't the only dirty thing in this room. But Jesus made an example for us, because then Jesus taking the path of the servant is now glorified, sitting on the throne, angels and elders surrounding his throne 24/7. Singing praises, worshiping him. He is high and lifted up. So in every opportunity, what I want to be able to do is I don't want to be falsely turning the attention away from me. I want to literally be pointing people to God every opportunity that I get. John chapter 13 is where the example of washing the feet is taking place, but we have to see that Jesus had all of the authority, and yet he set that aside. He had all of the ability, and he set that aside. It was based on affirmation from his Father that he even did it. Do you remember what took place after Jesus was water baptized? the Spirit descended on him like a dove, and the voice, an audible voice, was heard saying, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." I want you to know something this morning as we close this time. You are a daughter, a son of God. And He desires to lift you up from the lowest of lows to the highest heights. That's what He desires to do. Whatever your experience, whatever you've been through, please do not allow the enemy to rob you from the encounter that Jesus has for you. Well, I've done this. I've experienced. Phil, you have no idea what I've been through, and you are exactly right. I do not know. But something that I do know is I know who created you. I know who you belong to. And I know that His plans are good for you. I know that He desires to lift you up. He desires to encourage you. And this morning, if you could take anything from this, is to say, this isn't so much on how do I disappear into the background. Instead, how can I position myself so that I can receive everything that God has for me? Because in order for that to take place, greater is actually less than. Can you stand to your feet with me this morning? So this, I would just ask that even as we just kind of close this time this morning, that we would just be able to say, God, today, I want to be able to understand how I can position myself first and foremost, like that first principle of an immediate response to specific instruction. Well, if that's going to take place, then the obvious thing is next, or actually first, is I need to be able to hear from the Lord. And if you're there this morning, I would encourage you to understand that God wants to speak to you. And so I need to be able to create that platform where God can have that conversation with me. And so if we could just take a moment, because if you're not doing that, then a lot of this doesn't make a ton of sense. So first and foremost, is the platform there? Have I created an avenue for God to speak to me, for God to minister to me, for me to even know that I'm following in any kind of particular path? And I would just say, go before the Lord even right now, right here in this sanctuary, and say, God, am I in that place? Am I in a relationship with You where I am creating that platform where You can speak to me? And then through that revelation, through that understanding, now we begin to say, God, whatever You ask of me, I do not want my pride to get in the way. I want to humble myself. And whether it's a small beginning, whether it's something that I would think, man, I am worth so much more than that task. If it's from the Lord, then the Lord is saying, I want to see how You can push through this circumstance because there is more on its way. So, Father, we come before You this morning wanting to humble ourselves before You and to walk not in pride, but in godly humility. Jesus, we turn our attention and our thoughts to You. We thank You. We receive from You healing. There's some healing that needs to take place. There's some recognition that God does want to relate to you. There's nothing that you have ever done that can separate you from the love of God. But the enemy will take every opportunity and say, you don't measure up, and that is a lie. So, Father, we take the posture of being Your children, receiving from You that immediate response to specific instruction. And then finally, also is to be able to say, God, today what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure I keep perspective. Because I know that You are going to bless, You are going to move me in certain ways, and every single chance that I get, I want to make sure that I keep myself small in the relationships that I have. not falsely, not denying anything, but just being able to say, it is through the power and the authority of God that I can do anything through His strength. Lord Jesus, I thank You for my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I pray as they go today that You would cover them, be with them, strengthen and encourage them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. As you go today, don't forget, if you're a